ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो नाइन्थ चैप्टर। व्हाट इज द टाइटल ऑफ दिस चैप्टर? वेरी गुड। प्रह्लाद पेसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विथ प्रेयर्स। टेक्स्ट 19। बालस्य नेहा शरणं पितरो नृसिंह नार्तस्य चागदमुन्दन्नति मज्जतो नौ सप्तस्य तत्प्रतिबीधीर्ज इहाञ्जश्रेष्ठस्तावद् विभो तनुभृतां तदुपेक्षितानाम्। I started off with the wrong meter. Balasya neha saranam pitarau nishinha nartasya chagadam udannati manjato nau taptasya tat pratibidhir jaihanja sishthas तावद् विभो तनुभृतां तदुपेक्षितानाम्। माय लॉर्ड नृसिंहदेव, ओ सुप्रीम, बिकॉज ऑफ अ बॉडीली कंसेप्शन ऑफ लाइफ एम्बॉडीड सोल्स नेग्लेक्टेड एंड नॉट केयर्ड फॉर बाय यू कैन नॉट डू एनीथिंग फॉर देयर बेटरमेंट। व्हाट एवर रेमेडीज दे एक्सेप्ट ऑल्दो परहैप्स टेम्पररीली बेनिफिशियल are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. Please repeat after me. My Lord Nrisingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls, neglected and not cared for by you, cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Through parental care, through remedies for different kinds of diseases, and through means of protection on the water, in the air, and on land, there is always an endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in this material world, but none of them are guaranteed measures for protection. They may be beneficial temporarily, but they afford no permanent benefit. Despite the presence of a father and a mother, a child cannot be protected from accidental death, disease, and various other miseries. No one can help, including the parents. Ultimately, the shelter is the Lord, and one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. This is guaranteed. This is guaranteed. No one can help, including the parents. Ultimately, the shelter of the Lord, And one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. This is guaranteed. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although as a matter of routine duty, one must of course accept other remedial measures, no one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, everyone is trying to counteract the onslaught of material nature, but everyone is ultimately fully controlled by the material nature. Therefore, even though so-called philosophers and scientists try to surmount the onslaught of material nature, they have not been able to do so. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 13:9 that the real sufferings of the material world are four. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. In the history of this world, no one has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by material nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. Nature, prakriti, is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. So-called scientists, philosophers, religionists and politicians should therefore conclude that they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. They should make a vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Our humble attempt to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Tad upekshitanam. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world, in either the upper or lower planetary system.
Balasaneha sharanam pitaro nrisingha Nartasya chagadamudannati majjatonam Taptasya tatpriti vidhirja ihancha shishtas Tabad vibhotanubhritam tadupekshitanam.
My Lord Nrisingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls, neglected and not cared for by you, cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child, a physician and medicine cannot relieve the suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So Prahlad Maharaj is offering his prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. So in the previous verse, I'll repeat the translation again, because that way we can continue the thread of his prayers. O my Lord Nrisingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of material nations. My Lord Nrisingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls, neglected and not cared for by you, cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So, Prahlad Maharaj was speaking in the previous verse about how to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The process of taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this verse, he is pointing out that nothing but the Lord's mercy can ultimately protect anyone. Unless and until the Supreme Personality of Godhead protects, all other arrangements for our protection, security and safety is only temporary. Like when a child comes, who takes care of the child? The father and mother. They bring the child, and it is by their protection and care that they become the child, our child grow. But that protection and care of the parents are temporary. They cannot give any permanent solution to their problems and sufferings in this material nature. The doctors and medicine, the physicians and medicines, of course, give some temporary relief, some relief, but that relief is temporary. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj is very emphatically pointing out, and Prabhupada is reiterating that point, that the only thing that can actually protect us is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The only personality who can give us protection, real protection, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although we cannot see how He is protecting, but we have to see that with our intelligence, not with our eyes. The spiritual reality, the spiritual subject matter, the spiritual effects has to be perceived by intelligence. That is the only faculty that we can understand how the spiritual nature works, or how the spiritual energy of the Lord works. Like, with our intelligence we can consider, like, how the Lord is giving us all protection. Like, one consideration is, the earth is round. And we are situated on the surface of the earth. And the earth is moving with a tremendous speed. What would have naturally happened? We would have all gone thrown out, but did it happen? Did it ever happen? No. Why not? Who is protecting us from being thrown out? Krishna. Now that is one situation. We are not thrown out because the Lord has arranged the gravitational pull. But if the earth moves or stops to move for a moment, then what will happen? All of a sudden, if the earth just stops to move, then what will happen? Can you imagine what will happen? The earth is moving with a tremendous speed. It just stops. What will happen? Everything that is on the surface of the earth will just get thrown out in the other direction. Was there any instance when such a thing happened since time immemorial, since the time of creation? So this is how the Lord is giving us the protection. But at the same time, Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out that those who are not protected by you, no one can save them. No one can protect them. And Prahlad Maharaj's own life was such a wonderful example. Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him in so many ways. And mind you, Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary creature. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that even demigods were driven out of the heavenly planets by him. He drove them away. And they were afraid of him. When they would hear his name, they would begin to tremble in fear. That is how powerful he was. But still he couldn't do anything to Prahlad. When he wanted to kill him, he really wanted to kill him. It is not that he was just threatening, I'll kill you. Sometimes the parents give a threat to the child. But the thing is, he seriously meant it. And he seriously tried to the best of his ability to kill Prahlad. Just a 5-year-old boy. Why couldn't Hiranyakashipu, who was so powerful, who could even drive the demigods out of it, who could even defeat the demigods? Demigods' power is inconceivable. Demigods' power, like how powerful the demigods are, just consider. It is due to the arrangement of the demigods that the seasons are changing. Even the earth is moving. It's due to the arrangement of the demigods that the wind is blowing. The rain is being the water is being transported in the form of rain from ocean onto different parts of the land. These are all the arrangements of the demigods. And at one time, Prabhupada was having a discussion with some of his disciples, and the discussion was about nuclear warfare, and how if there is a nuclear war, then everything will be destroyed. That everything will be destroyed. And they were giving reasons why everything would be destroyed. Because not only there will be tremendous damage due to the nuclear explosion, but even after the explosion, the radioactive rays will travel, and that will kill everything. Nothing will be alive on the surface. Not only human beings, or animals, or birds and beasts. Even the trees and plants will be burnt out. But Prabhupada just kept on insisting, no. They cannot create Krishna's creation in this way. I mean, they cannot destroy Krishna's creation in this way. And still the devotees kept on insisting. Like, they were just trying to reason with their understanding and tell Prabhupada, well, how damaging this nuclear war will be. And finally Prabhupada said, you do not know the power of the demigods. In no time they can clear the whole atmosphere. So radioactive and all these things may be there on the atmosphere, but the demigods in no time can clean that up. So that is how powerful the demigods are. Now those demigods were defeated by Hiranyakashipu. That means Hiranyakashipu is more powerful. And that Hiranyakashipu could not do anything to Prahlad. And Prahlad was just a 5-year-old boy. Why? Why he couldn't do anything? Because Krishna was giving him the protection. So this is the example, what Krishna's protection can do. How Krishna can protect if he wants to. And now Krishna is giving the assurance that when he surrenders unto me, I'll give him all protection. So that is Krishna's condition. Now the question may arise, sometimes we have doubts. Oh, Prahlad Maharaj was so exalted devotees, that's why Krishna protected. We are not so advanced, so Krishna may not protect us. But, as I mentioned a few times already, that Lord Ramchandra, when Bibhishan came to surrender, Lord Ramchandra made that point. Some of, like Sugriva and others, suspected that maybe the Bibhishan came to harm them. This pretension, he is pretending to surrender, but actually he is not going to surrender to Ramchandra. He is actually going to come and cause damage. So at that time Ramchandra said that even one comes to me pretending to surrender, even one comes to me with an ulterior motive and surrenders, still I accept him and still I give him protection, not only throughout this life, even beyond this life. So this is how Krishna is actually removing all the doubts. That if you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will give you protection. Even if this surrender is not genuine, even if the surrender is pretentious, even if the surrender is with an ulterior motive, but still Krishna will accept and Krishna will give protection. So this is the confidence that devotees must have. Krishna will protect. And sometimes Krishna may not protect the body, but that doesn't matter. Because because the protection of the body is not what really matters. Protection of the soul is what matters. Another example from Ramayana. Jatayu was killed while trying to protect Sita. Ravan killed him, cut his wings, and Jatayu died. So here is an example that while serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes we may have to, somebody will die. But death again, die, who died? One may say Krishna didn't give protection. Now who didn't Krishna give protection to? The person or his body? So we have to understand, and we know, again from the scriptures, Jatayu achieved his ultimate destination. He went back to the spiritual sky. And naturally, when somebody gives up his life for the sake of the Lord, he attains his eternal kingdom. He attains the Lord's eternal kingdom. He goes back to Godhead. Therefore, whatever happens in our devotional service, whatever happens to us in course of rendering devotional service, will enable us to achieve the ultimate spiritual benefit, that is the spiritual sky, back to Godhead. And we have to carry on rendering our service with full conviction. Krishna will protect. On our part we will surrender and Krishna will give all the protection. And that's the point that Prahlad Maharaj is making here. That, well, yes, we make material arrangements for our safety and security. But we have to understand that ultimately all those arrangements are going to fail. The parents will not be able to protect their child. Doctors and medicines will not be able to protect the patient. And a boat in an ocean will not be able to protect a drowning man. They may give a temporary protection. These arrangements, like the parents do give protection to their children. But can they give protection forever? No. Doctors and medicines do give some relief to the patient. But can they give the permanent relief? No. A boat may give some safety to a person when he is traveling through the ocean. Or the boat may rescue a drowning man. But can the boat always rescue that drowning man? No. But if Krishna wants, he can. The child may be dying, but Krishna can say, okay, wake up, get up, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Srivas Thakur's son died, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he got to know that Srivas Thakur's son died when he was doing his kirtan, and Srivas Thakur didn't tell anybody, because he was afraid if he told that his son died, then the kirtan would stop. And he didn't want that to happen. And Mahaprabhu became very upset with him. He said, how could you behave like that? Your son died and you never told anybody. And Mahaprabhu walked straight into the room and told the boy, get up. And he got up. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can revive a dead child. Although parents may not, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can, Krishna can. Similarly, the patient may have died in spite of all the medical care, but if Krishna wants, Krishna can give him protection. There has been many instances we heard that the person had very, very serious disease. The doctors practically gave up. And then something happened and the person got cured. He prayed to Krishna and he got cured. And the doctors couldn't figure out how it happened. And they said that we don't have any explanation to that. So in this way, also you can see another example that has been given is of a drowning man. No boat and no divers and all that couldn't save the drowning man. But Krishna can hold him by his sikha and pull him out of the water. Krishna can very easily do that. Prabhupada used to say that's why you have the sikha. When you are drowning in the ocean of material nature, that Krishna can hold on to something to rescue us. So in this way, Krishna can give us all protection. And Krishna is giving us all protection. How we are alive? Why we are alive? How come we are alive? We are alive because of Krishna's protection. Krishna is giving us the protection. Isn't he supplying everything that we need for our survival, for our maintenance, for our upkeep? All the food he is supplying. Although we have become so atheistic, we don't want to believe in him. We don't want to surrender to him. Although our attitude has become so demoniac. But still, Krishna is giving us all the protection. Krishna is providing us with everything that we need. There is so much food, there is so much water, there is so much air, oxygen. Who is providing? Who made all these wonderful arrangements? Is the sun ray? Sun, heat from the sun, that is maintaining the perfect temperature on the surface of the earth. Can you imagine if the sun was not there, what would have happened? If the sun was not there, there wouldn't have been any light. Actually, if the sun was not there, there wouldn't have been any life. at least on this planet. All the living entities are actually depending on the sun. So this is how Krishna made all these wonderful arrangements. And we have to recognize that this is how mercifully Krishna is making all these wonderful arrangements for us. Without His mercy, we could not survive at all. And that is what Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out through his prayer to Lord Narasimhadev, that your shelter is the only shelter for all of us. Your lotus feet, your mercy is the only shelter for all of us. Besides that, there is no other shelter that can give us actual protection. Also, we can see the other arrangements for protection, they are also Krishna's arrangement. Like the doctors are giving medicines. Where did the medicines come? For diseases, there are medicines, the doctor giving the medicine. Where did the medicines come? Medicines have been arranged by Krishna. Actually, Ayurveda says that as the diseases came, the nature provided the antidote for those diseases. For every disease, nature has provided a cure. So nature provided means who provided? Krishna provided. So in this way, Krishna made all these wonderful arrangements for all of us. All the protections are actually reflections of Krishna's protection. Like we see, yes, the child is in the womb of the mother. But who made all these arrangements in the womb of the mother for the child to grow? Then the child is born. As soon as the child is born, the milk appears in the mother's breast. How did this happen? Are these all accidental phenomena? There was no milk before, but as soon as the child is born, the milk is there. This is how Krishna is taking care of everyone. He is making all the arrangements. And an intelligent person must try to understand that. And what will be the ultimate outcome of that understanding? Surrender to Krishna. Surrender. You are taking care of us in all this. So, let us surrender. Since you are the only shelter, then why should I not surrender unto you? And when we surrender, then we see the result of that surrender. Krishna reciprocates in so many wonderful ways. We are suffering so much. But the moment we surrender, all the suffering is gone. And life becomes so joyful. So this is how Krishna reciprocates our surrender. We surrender and Krishna gives the protection. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Chintamani?
You were mentioning that sometimes Krishna doesn't protect the body. But the protection of the soul is the most important. But I was wondering, because we hear that the super soul is always present with the soul, riding any body, so is there actually a situation where Krishna is not protecting the soul?
Is there some time when Krishna is not protecting the soul? What to speak of not protecting? Sometimes Krishna kills somebody. Right? Sure. Those who become completely impossible, right? They have keep on creating so much trouble, then Krishna says, put him to sleep, right? Death means Krishna puts him to sleep. But he puts them to sleep in a very special place, a place called Brahmajyoti, right? The demons are killed by Krishna, they are placed in Brahmajyoti. Stay there for one yuga. Then wake up in next yuga. Right? Ultimately, Krishna is the supreme, and Krishna doesn't destroy anybody. Krishna is protecting. But when our actions become too troublesome, then Krishna says, okay, I'll take care of him. But otherwise, Krishna is always giving protection. You see, Krishna is saying, je jathamang prapadante, tans tatheva bhajamaha. The way one surrenders unto me, accordingly I reciprocate. So, those who are inimical to Krishna, Krishna takes care of them by obliterating them. Those who are unconcerned about Krishna, they are not atheistic, they are not demoniac, but they don't want to accept Krishna. So Krishna also says, okay, you don't care for me, I also don't care for you directly. But indirect supply is there. He is getting the food, he is getting... But there is no direct protection of Krishna. You are on your own. You don't depend upon me, okay, fine. You are on your own. Take care of yourself. Everything is there. Right? Everything is there, but you make the arrangements yourself. But those who are surrendered to Krishna, Krishna says, I'll take care of you. See, these are the three. Demoniac or averse to Krishna, unconcerned about Krishna, and surrendered to Krishna. And accordingly Krishna reciprocates. Now of these three, who is the best? Which possibility is the best one? To surrender to Krishna. Because you surrender, Krishna takes care. And can anything compare Krishna's care? Yes, Sadhu.
I was speaking to one young couple in Alabama, and I keep telling them, you know, when I go in the hotel, I always pray for them because I really want a good situation for that person I mentioned. But it's a really touchy thing, and then cannot find out anyways completely. But it's pleasing to Krishna if we pray. Krishna, if you so desire, please help them to come or help them to be in a situation where they... I mean, Krishna already will make the situation that they will, but that they will make spiritual announcement, but our prayer, our important.
Yeah, praying is good for them, but even better is to teach them how to pray.
They do that too.
Okay, so teach them how to pray. Let them pray to Krishna. Why you have to babysit them? Right? Let them stand on their own feet. Right?
Yeah, well, they do that too, but I also do. Because I'm attached.
Very good. Okay. Yeah.
What is the significance of Lord Chaitanya's getting a little bit angry or shocked that Srivastava Thakur didn't tell him? Is there something to learn from that reaction of his? Why is that?
This is his pastimes, you know, like, you know, we have to understand here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is acting like a devotee.
Can we learn that? Is it a speculation?
We have to, I mean, the thing is, if Mahaprabhu, like what else Mahaprabhu could have said, could have done at that time? Pat him on the back, oh Srivash, wonderful, you are such a great devotee. Your son died and you didn't stop the kirtan. So Mahaprabhu's natural reaction was that, you know, how could you do that? Your son died and you didn't tell us? So that was his natural reaction, natural civil reaction. Actually, Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is playing the role of a devotee. Also, it is one, I mean, we know that yes, Sankirtan is the most important thing and we should give up everything else for the sake of promoting Sankirtan. That is there, But at the same time, we have to have our proper human dealings.
So that's where I was getting at. Is that pastime his reaction? Can we say that his reaction is there to show the example that even though we're spirit souls, even though the body's illusory, still
right.
we can't be impersonal in our dealings?
Exactly, yeah. Right, so exactly, right. Like, we cannot afford to be impersonal in our dealings. We have to, our natural affection should be there. Otherwise, if that natural affection is not there, then we will probably miss out on developing our affection for Krishna, love for Krishna. Heart has to be soft. All right. Yes, Mother Krishna.
I have a question. Arjuna was speaking about how sometimes Krishna doesn't protect the devotee's body, but he always protects the devotee. So my question was, if, how do we know if something happens to us as a result of our offenses, or if it's just Krishna trying to teach us? Many years ago, maybe about 15 years ago, I was completely absorbed in the deity worship and doing full-time worship and just felt like I was in the spiritual world. And then one day in the course of my activities, an unusual event happened where I ended up falling and my whole body became fractured. And they had to carry me literally out of the, on a stretcher out from, I was staying in a room right next to the altar. So I was right next to the altar, literally living right in that next room, and I had to be carried out. And I remember when I was being carried out, I was just like saying, Krishna, I was, you know, I'm being taken away from here, and, you know, is it because of the offenses in my service, or is it because of some lesson that I need to learn? So that was my question.
At the time, were you forgetful of Krishna or remembering Krishna? Although your heart is feeling the separation, but the remembrance is there. Is there any difference between remembering Krishna and being with Krishna? So, you know, like, even though we go through difficulties and apparently it seems that we are being separated from Krishna, but on the other hand we see that is increasing our attachment to Krishna. So that's what really matters. Whether our love for Krishna is increasing, whether our attachment to Krishna is increasing, whether our remembrance to Krishna is increasing. Yes, Pallavi?
Last night, giving his definition of the word love as the willingness on the part of the lover to sacrifice everything for the lover. So in that respect, the purity, in that respect, there's a degree of purity there. Am I correct to say that?
Yeah. But still, that purity is founded on ignorance. That purity is based on ignorance because remembrance of Krishna is not there. Right? So that is the ignorance. The love which was meant to be offered to Krishna is being offered to somebody. The way out of that love for Krishna one should have acted is acting towards that person. Say for example, Romeo desperately fell in love with Juliet, right? But actually that love of Romeo was meant for Krishna, not for Juliet. And the way Romeo acted, he should have acted towards Krishna in that way. His thing should have been, Krishna, I am prepared to die for you. Or in your separation, I will give up my body. Right. But that was actually on the part of Juliet. When she thought that Romeo died, she also decided to die. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that how can I, he is saying that I do not have any love for Krishna. If I had any love for Krishna, then how come I'm still alive? In spite of being separated from Him, how am I still alive? If I really had love for Krishna, I couldn't have been alive. And so this is it. This is the point. In the material nature, what is happening is the love that was meant to be offered to Krishna and the way that love should have been expressed, you know, is being expressed for somebody else. And that's what make all these love stories. But then they are only love stories, they are not real love. They prepare to sacrifice everything, but that is only a perverted reflection of the love for Krishna. Yes.
Sometimes Srila Prabhupada gives an example of the love that the father has for a child.
That's the closest that comes to Krishna consciousness in this material nature. Mother's love for the child. That means selfless. The selflessness that is demonstrated by mother's love for the child is the closest to pure love for Krishna. Of all the love stories.
Right, but in order for one to love another person, obviously I must see the person and know his qualities or her qualities. But here I have not seen Krishna, and to ask me to love Krishna without having seen him, it would be kind of hard, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it is. It may be not. I won't say hard, but I'll say it may be not as easy as when you see the person in front of you. Like for example, say there is no camera, there is no DVD, there is no movie, there is no TV. You are at a time when all these things are not there. And you get to know that you have a cousin who lives in such and such place. Your father tells you about the cousin. Don't you develop some sort of relationship with your cousin? Just by hearing? That's what actually happened to Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna didn't meet Krishna for many, many years. But Arjuna heard that he has a cousin. His mother used to tell him about, you know, he has a cousin, he lives in... He is in Vrindavan and Krishna used to hear, and Arjuna used to hear about him, and just by hearing about him he fell in love with him. Rukmini just heard Narad Muni describing about Krishna to her father, and Narad Muni proposed that maybe he is the right candidate for your daughter. And just by overhearing Narad Muni, she was not even there. She was just in the other room. But she just, you know, was eavesdropping. And just by hearing about this personality, she fell in love with him. So, by hearing, by getting to know about the person, you fall in love. Also. And we see the person in our mind's eye. Through the description we see the person. although not through pictures, not through. And then, when we see the person face to face, then the love becomes really manifest. Yes, Archana?
Often when we present to people how we should love God, is most of the time they are frightened because love for God is truly like this aspect of divinity, and they become scared that this love for God should be exclusive, the way we present it, and they can relate with other people. They always think, how can I relate with others, because this love for God should be exclusive.
Yeah, so exclusive doesn't mean that only for God and not for anybody else. It shouldn't be exclusive, it should be inclusive. Love for Krishna, although exclusive in one way, but it is actually all inclusive. Because everyone is Krishna's part and parcel. So when you love Krishna, isn't it natural that your love for others also will become manifest? You'll fall in love with others also, and that will be the real love. Your real compassion, your genuine feeling for them will become manifest. Just like when you love your father, then your relationship with the brothers become genuine. So that is how it shouldn't be presented that way, that love only Krishna and hate everybody. No, that is not what Krishna consciousness is. Rather, our point is, love Krishna and love everybody else. But you don't have to go and broadcast, I love you, I love you, I love you. Then what happens is, they start to expect some kind of return which is not real. So,
they say you shouldn't say I love you, but I enjoy somebody saying, so you have to tell the person I love you, so you have to express it, but how the person will know.
Yeah. Yeah, that is there, that is sure, that is there. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that when people misunderstand that love, you see, why devotees are afraid to use that expression so abundantly. Because in today's world, you know, what goes on in the name of love is actually lust. So people, the expectation becomes something else when you say I love you. So that's why, you see, like, love has to be more precisely defined. You know, affection is a kind of love. Respect is a kind of love. So, what actually happens is, love for Krishna, because love for Krishna, respect for others, affection for others, friendship for others, so these are actually love. Friendship is love. Respect is love. Affection is love. But in today's world, people do not know what love is. Therefore, they do not know that these are also expressions of love. They know only one kind of love. That is sex. And that's the problem. Yeah, or rather lust and exploitation. Yeah.
Can love be defined as that
a person is willing and will do their very best to encourage and support the favorable circumstances for one's developing love for Krishna. Can love be defined as one person willing and doing their best to make favorable arrangements so that the other person can make progress in their love for Krishna?
Sure. That's what devotees do. Especially the senior devotees. That is their business. What is the business of a spiritual master? Make arrangements for the disciples to develop their love for Krishna. Isn't it? Yes, that's very true. And when I say spiritual master, it's not the duty of only the spiritual master. That's what every senior devotee does. Like a temple president. What is a temple president expected to do or doing? And make arrangements so that everybody else can develop his love for Krishna. Isn't it? So ultimately, the senior devotees are always helping the junior devotees to develop their love for Krishna. That is their service. Yes, Prima?
You mentioned that we have to use our intelligence to see the Lord's mercy, the spiritual energy of the Lord. Is that intelligence also provided by Krishna? Is that, or do we see that intelligence also as the mercy of the Lord?
Yes, you surrender to Krishna and Krishna will give you the intelligence. Right? He'll give you the intelligence so that you can understand Him. You express your love for Krishna through devotional service, Krishna will give you the intelligence. Yeah, it is by Krishna's mercy. But it's not just an accidental display of mercy, a partial display of mercy. Je jatha mang prapadante is condition. You surrender and I'll give you. Not only to that extent, rather in an unproportionate extent, Krishna gives it. Like you do this much surrender, Krishna will give you this much mercy. That is how Krishna reciprocates.
When they're doing devotional service, we always have to see that we are unqualified. But sometimes I get into where I say that, but I don't truly mean. I mean, sometimes I don't have it from my heart. How do I cultivate that? Or do I just continue doing that?
Okay. So that means you cultivate it by being humble. So look at this attitude. I am the most qualified. What does it mean? I am so puffed up. Right? But the genuine feeling, I am not qualified. What is that feeling? Humbleness. You know, not just some empty words. I am not qualified, Prabhu. But in the heart of my heart, I am thinking I am the most qualified. But I am supposed to be humble, so I am putting it that way. No, it should be heartfelt. The feeling should be, what service does Krishna need from me? Who am I to render any service to Krishna? What kind of service I can render to Him? Thousands of Lakshmi Devis are constantly rendering service to Krishna. They're cooking for Krishna, they're dressing Krishna, they're cleaning Krishna's area, they're making arrangements for Krishna. So where is my room to render service there, in that atmosphere? Who am I? That understanding will create that genuine feeling in the heart. And that's what is going to make us humble.
Is it okay to meditate, or is it okay to remember those kind of instances constantly so that we get that genuinity or sincerity in our...
Yeah, by remembering our actual position And at the same time, by remembering Krishna's mercy, Krishna's devotee's mercy, I am not qualified to render service. But Prabhupada made this arrangement, that's why I am able to render some service. Remain grateful to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.